time to pursue. It is exciting to be here this morning because it wasn't too long ago. Okay, who am I kidding? It was a long time ago. 25 years ago, I was sitting in a similar position, not in the same seats because the seats didn't exist back then. But I was sitting in this spot, 1991. And that's kind of a scary thought to think about. And I was looking down the road and thinking about the things that I would one day pursue. As a young person, I had grown up and I had this idea and this vision, and I'd been blessed with a godly home, and I had a great surrounding cast of friends and family that encouraged me to do things and to be what I needed to be. And I came to this place as a freshman in college, and I had no idea what God had in store. And as we start this journey today with you, to the freshmen that are here, we give you our welcome, and we say to you, we are praying for you and all that God has in store for your lives. I came as a freshman pre-med major. I actually would finish with a degree in biology and minor in chemistry, and I would use it every day in my preaching life. But I wanted to be a doctor, and I had started that path, and I was doing the interview process, and I was doing all those things. And one of the things that I had an opportunity to do when I was here was some of my friends, our biology guys that we got together, were like, hey, one of our friends has got a campaign going to Honduras. And we're like, yeah, that'd be awesome. We can do all kinds of stuff in Honduras that we never get to do here. John, you're on that, right? I remember that. Ronnie and John and Eric. And we had our little group of buddies. And we loaded up and went to Honduras. And little did I know that on that trip, God would begin to open my eyes to ministry in a different way and to missions. And I can't tell you, I've been back to Latin America probably 25 or 30 times. I've been involved in ministry since 1995, full-time. And it's kind of interesting that sometimes the things we think we will do may not always match up. Don't worry. God is in control. And when doors close, He will open others. And there will be blessings that you can't even begin to imagine from friendships that you make in these times here. And not only among students, but there are some of the adults that are here that will become lifelong friends, that will invest in your life and that will speak words of wisdom and blessing over you. And I promise it will be a wonderful journey. There will be ups and downs, but at the same time, that's life. Today we want to talk about this idea of a time to pursue. All this day with our young people, we're talking about different pursuits. In Sunday school, we spent some time talking about trivial pursuits or pointless pursuits or things that we chase after that don't really end up benefiting or blessing us. As a matter of fact, they can tend to distract us and poison our lives in negative ways. You've seen that happen among your friends and your peers. We've seen it even in our own lives when we've chosen our ways above God's ways. But today I want us to think about this idea of a time to pursue. And one of the first things that I want us to talk about is the idea that part of this pursuing in our lives, whether we're freshmen in college or a freshman in high school, or whether we're a freshman on Social Security for the first time, whatever the case may be, the pursuit of growth. Because one of the things that I think is so important for us to remember, and yes, I know that was one of the most attractive smiles ever, is that healthy things grow. So this is young Chuck Morris as a baby. My mother deemed that the million-dollar smile. Now, I'm not nearly as cute as a real... Is your baby still awake, Stephen? Nope. Okay, we'll go with just the pictures. All right. I had a live visual that was going to come join me, but we shall not awaken the babe. One of the things you notice in life is that there's a process of growth. Perhaps my favorite picture ever of me in the drawer trying to be like my dad. Had his old electric razor, and I was climbed in to try to get as high so I could see myself. And I was growing as a young baby and a young man and a young mullet. It was making progress. As that growth process happened and continued on, you got to those beautiful, awkward years. That was Stephen in his first year of college and Dad in the biggest glasses ever. And me with the largest necktie knot in the history of mankind for the Olin Mills classic shot. But we were growing. And then there's the classic. This was at my graduation. This was my senior year at graduation. Both brothers came home to be a part of that. And we're growing still. But can you imagine what it would be like if I told you that, man, hey, this is a picture of my child. This is a picture of my child. And look, and here's my child at 5 years old. Isn't he great? And wait a minute. What's wrong with that? And you know, no, I've got more pictures. Look at this one. This is him at 10. Isn't it great? And look, he continued, and this was his senior year. And we would all look at that and go, wait, it wouldn't take 18 years before you started asking a question. It'd be more like 18 months that you would start looking and going, something's not right with this kid. I mean, I know some of you are saying that today anyway. You're saying something's not right with this kid. But when you look at this and you realize something's not right, you realize it's not right because he's supposed to be growing. That there's supposed to be progress. There's supposed to be advancement and learning and increase. But to stay the same is not part of the plan. Healthy things grow. I want to challenge us this morning to think about this idea of healthy things grow. And when you come and you think about what is it in my life that is a healthy pursuit? What is in my life that is a healthy kind of focus? That's something that I need to be challenging myself on a daily basis to be growing in. I want you to think about these words, healthy things grow. And if I'm not growing, then it's most likely that I'm dying. And so I want you to think about that today. As we think about the concept, healthy things grow, you think about it. Go back. In Luke chapter 2, you have Jesus, a young boy at the age of 12. You find him practicing the spiritual discipline of assembling with the saints. He goes into the place of worship, and he's observing this opportunity to be in the presence of God, to be in a place of learning. You see Jesus sitting in conversation with spiritual people of influence, people that he longs to grow from. But not only that he's growing from, he's also sharing back in their amazement. They can't believe his growth. I want you to think about what it means to be growing. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor, in God, and with man. We do the same thing today. We grow in the same ways. I want you to think about Acts chapter 2. When you see the scripture reveal the birthing of the church, and you see the word of God spreading throughout the world, and you see fellowship in the family of God, and you see them breaking bread together, and you see them praying together, and worshiping and being together in the body of Christ. You see them spreading the gospel of Christ, and we see another example of how healthy things grow. If we're not growing as the body of Christ, we're not healthy. If we as God's people are not spreading the Word of God around the world and seeing the seed of God, which is the Word, fall on good and honest hearts and begin to see those plants increase and then also become fruitful, then we are not growing as God intended for us to grow. In John chapter 3, Jesus gives us the picture to Nicodemus. He says, you must be born again. It's a picture of the beginning of the growth process spiritually. He said, you're to be born of the water and the Spirit. The idea of the same idea that's expressed in Acts 2 when Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see the picture of being born again, new life starting, new opportunity, new beginning. Healthy things grow. Nicodemus, you're not supposed to stay a baby your whole life. There are certain things that you get a pass with when you're a baby that you don't get a pass on when you're 6 years old and in first grade. You know, there are certain things that can happen, certain accidents that happen when you're a baby, guys, that when you're a freshman in high school, you'll never live down. Okay? There are certain things that we learn and we realize that we go, he's just a child. There are certain times when your dad can get you and carry you outside as a baby that if he did that as a 14-year-old, you would be feeling the pain. We grow. We grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, the scripture says this, Paul to the church at Ephesus, he's encouraging them in their growth, and it's a beautiful thing. He says these words, verse 14 and 15, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried around by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes, but rather speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I want us to think about healthy things grow. 1 Peter talks about adding to our faith virtue and virtue knowledge, knowledge, temperance, and brotherly kindness. And you see this picture and he's saying our lives in Christ are meant to be vibrant. They're meant to be growing and changing. Who I am in Christ today is not who I will be a year from now. That happens as we grow, but it also happens as we discipline ourselves to grow. There's some unhealthy growth that happens sometimes. I was talking to a couple of brothers and they were saying, man, I'm doing a lot of swimming, being healthy, that's good. There are other times when we don't do a lot of swimming or we don't exercise that we grow, and it's not the best kind of growth. And so we look at that and we say, I want to grow in a way that honors God. I want to grow in the way that God longs for me to grow and to be the person He longs for me to be. Our scripture reading this morning was from Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. And it challenged the Christians here. And he was looking at their lives and he goes, you know, chapter 5 verse 12, by this time you ought to be teaching people. You ought to have grown so in your knowledge and your understanding of God's Word that you have gone from sitting and being a student to someone who is now able to share it. Someone who is able to pass it on. Maybe it's not in a classroom. Maybe it's not an assembly. Maybe it's across a lunch table. Maybe it's across the cubicle in your office room. Maybe it's across the conference room table at your workplace. But you ought to be teaching other people what God has done. He says, but now you need milk and not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. I want you to think about those two phrases, constant practice. Some of you have been involved in sports through the years. Some of you have been involved in different talents that you have constantly practiced, whether you are a piano player, whether you are a musician of some other sort, whether you are an athlete that constantly practices a free throw, or maybe constantly practices a soccer kick or a field goal kick, you are aware that it is about a constant practice. The scripture says that's the same thing when it comes to growing our faith and our talent and our relationship to the Lord. It's something that we should be constantly engaged in and practicing. Don't forget to grow during your time here. One of my favorite things that someone introduced me to was the discipline of journaling. Now, I know there are a lot of different journalings going on today, and some of them involved a lot of cute coloring kind of stuff, and that's all well and good, but make sure that in addition to your coloring, you're getting some content, that you're adding some meat into the beauty of that page. I love the imagery that I'm seeing, but I want you to be sure that you're, as you journal, to make that a discipline. That when you walk into an assembly of the Lord's people, that you come in with an eye and an ear and a pen that is ready to remember these things long after this moment. There were so many lessons. I didn't have a journal back in the day, but I've got a shoebox full of visitor's cards that used to sit in the front of my seat here at Henderson. And I would write to the best of my ability all the little notes on the back of my membership card and stick it in my Bible, because I wanted to be able to be engaged and I wanted to be able to remember the things that I was hearing long after the time they passed through my ears. And so I want to challenge you to grow in the discipline of journaling. I want you to think about Paul. Paul spoke on many occasions and in many different ways to the challenge of growth, and in giving us some ideals and some things to look for. I want you to just move through these with me for a few moments. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. One of my favorite passages. As Paul is laying out the challenge of going from people that are so focused on the here and now to people that are focused on an eternal perspective. In verse 9 and 10, verse 9 in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he's talked about being in this body and what life is like. And he says, whether we are at home or away, we make it our goal to please Him. What if every day I woke up and I made it my goal today, I want to please the Lord? It's a discipline because it doesn't come natural. The natural thing is to go, every day I want to make it my goal to please myself. That's the picture that you see throughout the world. That's the picture you see painted throughout all of media and all of the things. Hey, make it your goal to take care of yourself, to do whatever it takes, whatever it costs, whatever, you know, you have to throw away. You satisfy yourself. That's the message of the world. But the message of God is, when I look at temporary stuff and things that are going passing away, and I look at the eternal, and I know the love of an amazing God, I want to make it my goal to please Him. He follows that with verse 10 when he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether it's good or whether it's evil. I want to have disciplined goals. I want to be spiritually disciplined in the things that I am pursuing. Turn over a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. We shared this in class this morning. And he gives you two sides of a coin. He says, on one side of your life, it's going to be full of pursuits. There are things that you're going to be chasing after. And there's another side of your life that's going to be filled with things that you're fleeing, that you understand, I have got to run away from this, because if I don't, it's going to catch me and it's going to overtake me and it could be devastating. Listen to what Paul says. So flee the youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who have called on the Lord from a pure heart. He gives us a challenge to flee and to pursue. So there's two halves of this coin. It's not only things that I'm pursuing that are good and right, there are also things that I'm going to be looking at and recognizing the danger in, and I'm staying away from them. I'm running away from them. Back up a page in your scripture to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And listen to what Paul writes to Timothy. Verse 11. But you, O man of God, flee these things. One half of the coin. The other half of the coin, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness, and fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called, and by which you are made the good confession of your in the presence of many witnesses. Flee and pursue. What is it we're supposed to flee? Well, if you back up in the text just a little bit, you see in verse 3, he starts listing some things that are part of a life that needs to be fleed. He says, if anyone teaches different doctrine, does not agree with the sound words of our Lord and the teaching that are in accord with godliness, he's puffed up and conceited. He understands nothing. He is unhealthy and he's craving controversy or quarrels about words, which produce envy and dissension and evil suspicion. Constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is meant for gain. Now there's great gain in godliness with contentment. We brought nothing into the world, we take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. For those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless trials, into harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Through it, it is through this craving that some have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. I want you to think about Paul saying, hey, here's a warning of things that we need to flee. He says, we need to flee being impoverished of truth. We need to flee a poverty of the things that we teach, of godly teaching. We need to pursue godliness. We need to flee the desire to be rich or greed and things that can overtake us. And learn to use the blessings and the gifts of God for His glory and not our own. We flee these things. We pursue these things. Over and over throughout Paul's life, he gives us illustration after illustration. Perhaps it's chapter 12 of Romans when he says, I beseech you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable act of worship. What's the picture there? The picture is I want to pursue pleasing God with my life. I want to make sure God looks down at my life and goes, He's growing. That's my boy. I recognize him now. I see he's not what he used to be. He's growing in his faith. He's growing in the likeness. And eventually, as I look more and more and more, he goes, I'm starting to see the resemblance between this son and this son. And isn't that what it's supposed to be about? That when God looks at our lives and the growth patterns and who we are, that He begins to see a reflection of His own Son. You know, sometimes pursuing these things, we realize that when we pursue those things, we really are pursuing not the things, but the God who is the origin of them. We know that God is love. So pursuing love, we find Him. Maybe we need to pursue the one who is steadfastness. Maybe we need to pursue the one who is faithfulness rather than just being faithful. It's a pursuit that God wants us to find in our life. You know, as a kid, I loved playing this game, the game of life, you know? You take it out, and you lay all the stuff out, and you'd spin, and you'd get the car, or you'd get a raise, or you'd go to the bank, or you'd go to the bathroom, or you'd do this or that. You had all this stuff, and it all kind of was determined by the spin of the wheel. You know, I'm thankful that our lives are not determined like that. I'm thankful that God has given us more than just a little dial that we turn, and we go three spaces forward. You get to go now, you've lost a turn, go to somebody else. I'm glad that God doesn't work life like that. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this to his followers. Consequently, as he's talking about in a metaphor of the vine and the branches, about growth and fruit, he says these words. He says, the thief has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and that you may have it to the full. I want to give you a quick zoom through what I think the disciplines of life look like. I think we need to have a great love for God. I think there needs to be we need to be intelligent about sin. We need to have a focused mind, and we need to be ready to endure to the end. You know, when you think about disciplines that come from our love for God, we find those in our time of worship, whether it's corporately or individually. We find the discipline in our time of reading from God's Word and letting Him speak to us through His Word. We find discipline in our and demonstrate love for God when we pray, when we spend time talking to Him, when we spend time alone with Him, when we spend time in obedience to Him. You know, we gain and then grow in our being intelligent about sin and the fact that we realize that all of the knowledge about sin that we can have doesn't have to be firsthand. You don't have to make every mistake in order to learn from the mistakes of others. You can look at things and you can realize that Jesus has given us, as the scripture says, that's John 10:10. As you think about Ephesians 6:10 and the word, the encouragement about being in our lives, a focus there, or Galatians 6:10 that says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. What we sow, we reap. We think about Satan's technique, the way he approaches us. Be knowledgeable about that. Have a certain intelligence about you that realizes not only the potential risk of sin, but the great price that it costs our Savior. And His power can be broken. I want you to think about this when you think about disciplines for life, is the discipline of focus. Man, how important is it for us to narrow the distractions of our life and to say, God, You are the centerpiece. You are central to everything else. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I live, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What is that? My life is centrally given to living for Christ. I want to fix my eyes on Him, the author and the perfecter of my faith. Finally, it's going to involve some endurance. There are uphills, there are downhills. There are moments that you're going to wish it was over. And you're going to pray like Paul that, I wish, Lord, or like John did, Lord, come quickly. But there are going to be others where you find the great pleasures of life and the joys of life. And you go, God, whether I live or whether I die, You will be glorified in my life. May we continue in our lives to pursue the things that honor Him. You know, on our football team, we have a drill. And some of you guys that played football, you're probably familiar with this. You probably hate the drill. But it's called the pursuit drill. And what you do is you line the team up in the places on the field where they normally play. And then you set cones all the way down the field to mimic the other team and where they potentially will be when the time comes for us to make a play. And you blow a whistle, and from wherever the guys are, they pursue a spot. They pursue the ball carrier. They take off running as hard as they can, as fast as they can, to a given point where they hope they can make the play. No matter where they find themselves at the beginning of the drill, at the end of the drill, they're in the same location because their pursuit has been united. You know, as I think about this day and as I think about this moment, I realize that we come to this place and we're kind of all coming from different places. We're at different points on the field. But when we look to the cross of Christ, we realize what He's called us to, what He's called us to pursue. And today, if you're not a Christian, we want to invite you to that cross. Allow yourself to be buried with Him in water, born again of the water and the Spirit. To allow yourself to start a new life in Christ because of His sacrifice, because of His grace, because of His gift, that you can begin again. Maybe it is that you look at your life and you realize, man, I'm kind of out of line from where I need to be. I need to be over there and not where I am. Maybe it's time for you to make a move. We want to challenge you this year to pursue the direction of Jesus for your life. And if there's any way we can encourage you this morning, once you come, as together we stand and as we sing.